Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect this afternoon. Special guest this afternoon, we're with Rabbi Dr. Robert Lenick. He is Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico, and Mr. John Sondager, Executive Director of Bible Mission Global. John is also an attorney, and he has worked for many years to support the Jewish community. He's a Christian man. So we've got a Jewish believer, Christian believers. John, I want to start with what seems maybe an oversimplified question. You two are really good friends.
Absolutely, and we should be, because we are of a like mind, and we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We diverge a little bit as to the Messiah, but we'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to know Rob, and he is a delightful person, and he's so easy to become a friend to, because his background, not just being a good person, but his background has been in interfaith dialogue. And I don't like the word dialogue. That sounds very stiff. Mm-hmm. He gets Christians and Jews together in his, he's been a rabbi of congregations, in the United States, and in, when he was there in those particular cities, some in Alabama, I think it was, where he'll tell us, he worked diligently to bring our faiths to understanding each other. And that's the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. We may not agree, and Rob and I are going to have, we have some very interesting, delightful discussions. But as a rabbi friend of mine told me years ago, John, we can agree to disagree agreeably.
Well, we're going to spend time today talking about the Jewish community. We're going to be talking about the Christian community. We're going to talk about our faith and where we differ and where we're the same. We're going to talk about a bunch of political things going on. And Rob, let's start by having you tell us a little bit about how you believe Jews and Christians share similar beliefs.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to be here. And thank you, John. That was very sweet and beautiful.
Did you give him some money before we started? Yeah, just kidding.
I'll take care of you later.
Yeah.
You know, we are friends, and it's because we're able to share our stories with each other. And we realize that our stories are not in conflict or challenging each other. They're complementary stories. And I think the Jewish and the Christian stories are best understood as complementary stories, as much as people spend a great deal of energy focusing on them being separate. And I think, you know, people say there's a Judeo-Christian ethic. And what is it? It's about love. It's about compassion. And to me, it all comes from Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. God wants us to be friends. Mm. God wants us to be together and work together, even if we have different languages of expressing our faith. We're one family of God, and I think that's the foundation of why Jews and Christians are able to share and learn from each other's stories.
Yesterday I had a lady named Jackie Gingrich Cushman. You may remember the name Newt Gingrich from some time past. Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House for 5 years. He was in Congress for 20. His daughter Jackie has written a book, and it's basically about why we need to get rid of all this contention and start getting along and getting some things done. And I asked her in the interview, and I probably shouldn't have put her on the spot this much. I should have asked the question or phrased the question, Jackie, what do you hope for? But what I asked her really is it possible? Can we all get along? Rob, I want to ask you that question now. Do you think that we can get along and we can start talking and be progressive and get some things done for our country and for our world?
I do think we not only can we get along, we must find a way to get along, because people are preoccupied, it seems, more and more lately with what they believe is their version of the truth. Mm. And people will even go to war over those versions of the truth. And I think the key to overcoming that way of thinking is, let's not talk so much about truth. Let's talk about the human common experience of searching for meaning. And we all want to have a meaningful life, and we can enhance our own sense of meaning by listening to other people and working with other people. And I think if we change the conversation from, you know, protection of a particular truth and more to sharing of common meaning, and that may sound like some subtle difference, but I think it's actually really right to the point. If we can search for meaning together and learn from each other, we'll be on our way to having a more civil society.
John, as a Christian man, why have you decided that you were going to come alongside Rabbi Rob and the Jewish Federation of New Mexico? And I know you're very involved with the Jewish Community Center here in Albuquerque. I'm a member up there. In fact, got a little too zealous about a workout yesterday and am limping around as a result today. But, John, you've come alongside Rabbi Rob here, and you've come alongside the Jewish community, and you're really standing and encouraging Christians to support Israel. Why have you done that?
I think that is an example, and I'll explain it more fully, of why I do have hope. You asked, Rabbi, is there hope that we, the world, wherever? Well, it starts at home. And I believe my wife and I and others started to reach out to the Jewish community. We started an organization called Yad B'Yad, which is Hebrew for hand in hand. And we agreed that we were not going to try and proselytize each other, but just get to know each other. Because the reason I became involved, and my wife did, is because the Bible, from Genesis through our Revelation, the Tanakh, as they call it, or we, the Hebrew Bible, we call it the Old Testament. I don't like that because that's just as current as we are, but it calls us in the book of Romans, Paul's chapters 9, 10, and 11. You got to read that. You can't be anti-Semitic and read Romans 9, 10, and 11. We are grafted in. We're a part of it. It's part of our history. And yet we have so estranged ourselves, this barrier between us. The words Christian anti-Semitism should be an oxymoron. It should be a conflict of terms. Of all people, we should be at least understanding and loving our Jewish brothers and sisters, because we came out of Judaism. We didn't come out of Hinduism. We didn't come out of Buddhism. We didn't come out of Islam. We are an extension, our opinion, of Judaism. So reaching out to our Jewish brothers and sisters enhances our Christian experience. When you understand more fully where we came from and understand some of the traditions which need sometimes, like Pastor Skip, Pastor Skip Heitzig, when anytime he teaches, he always gives a cultural background, a historical background to help you understand what was Moses thinking? What was Paul the Apostle thinking? What was affecting his life? And so understanding our Jewish brothers and sisters is important for us to understanding the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. And then it's a wonderful experience. And here in Albuquerque, we have grown a lot. It's been over 20-some years. And we were met with skepticism, and rightfully so. I mean, I'll be honest with this audience. Most times the Jews have been treated nicely is when a Christian wants to convert them. And we understand that. That's our commission, to reach out with the gospel. But if they don't convert, then we got nothing to do with them. And then we actually don't like them. Well, that's not what we were called to do. We're called to love, and that's not just New Testament theology. That's Leviticus.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why we were called. We use that term, English speaking Christians. We feel we were called to reach out to our Jewish brothers and sisters.
We have in studio this afternoon Rabbi Dr. Robert Lenick. He is Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico, and John Sondager. He's an attorney, Executive Director of Bible Mission Global. He's also got Yad B'Yad, which he works closely in with his wife. We're going to be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
John Sondager, Executive Director of Bible Mission Global, and he is also a local attorney here in Albuquerque. Been helping people with trusts and retirement kinds of issues for a long time, right, John?
Just 44 years, but that's not long at all.
Well, I'm not even that old, so I'm just teasing.
I've got sport coats older than you, Jim.
Oh, there we go. And Rabbi Dr. Robert Lennick, he's the executive director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico. And I get the idea, gentlemen, that off the air, you guys yuck it up a little bit, have some fun, talk about some fun things.
Yeah.
And Rob, I'm just really glad that you're here and having this conversation. I'm glad. I hope you don't feel like you're put on the spot. You know, you're not surrounded by the enemy. You're surrounded by people who love you and care about your community and yourself. And
without a doubt,
you know, one of the things, Rob, that I want to do in this, in our discussion today, and we'll do that toward the end of the program, is I need there to be a call to action. Our show's called ABQ Connect. I'm trying to call Christians in the political process to get off the couch, go to our New Mexico legislative website, find out what bills are going to be passed. We're talking about some of that a little bit later in the program that has to do with anti-Semitism and literally domestic terrorism, which is really scary. I'm not even frankly aware that that was really out there. You know, I have a lot of friends that I was an athlete with, black athletes, and I would never suppose that I would understand what a black man or woman has to go through in our country when there are prejudice and discrimination. And conversely, I can't understand what a Jewish citizen has to go through. And it's scary, some of the things
you
have to deal with. Rob, talk about a little bit about the interfaith dialogue and why that's important to collaborate with one another during a time of polarization in our country.
Well, you know, people are so divided up over their politics, their worldview, their value systems. And in fact, to me, the ideal version of American experience is that we share these stories not simply for the purposes to show how we're different, but we actually share our stories to find out what we have in common. Mm. And that's why my philosophy, which very much reflects the Jewish attitude, you know, we don't proselytize anybody. Mm-hmm. We have real principles against trying to change anybody's personal faith. And we have a respectful attitude about that. That's why I'm always open to talk to people of all different faith experiences, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, Catholics, Native Americans, because their lives are like a prism of God's spirit. And I look at all humans as like a prism, and the invisible light of God comes through us and it becomes visible like a spectrum. And we need to share how we experience God's light that flows through us. And so I really believe in that conversation. I even believe in the conversation with people who call themselves atheists. I don't actually think atheism is a logical position, because if you absolutely deny God's existence, you are affirming something absolute, if that makes any sense. But I understand agnosticism, the notion that I don't know for sure if something called God exists, but I'm not prepared to deny it either. And so I accept it as a mystery that I can't explain. And I actually think there's something positive about that perspective. There's a humility in that perspective. Because what happens in all of our religious traditions is people get haughty about their beliefs, even arrogant at times about their beliefs. And I think then people become blind to what it's really about to begin with, which is sharing the light that flows through all human beings and then finding a way to bring that light together between us and among us.
Rob, this would be a revelation of a character flaw, one of many that I possess, but I'm an old coach. So any human being, regardless of their faith or no faith position, I believe God has equipped and gifted each person. And it frustrates me when I see what I will call mediocrity. I've seen many athletes that they're naturally talented and gifted and athletic, have amazing athletic ability, but they won't put in the work. And they're not great as a result. And then I see people that are less talented, but they put in the work, they stay in the gym, they do all the things they're supposed to do, and they do achieve a very high level. But it's funny that a lot of people that have God-given gifts many times will not, look closely at God, listen to God. It's almost like they have enough and they don't want any more. But I really get frustrated because I think they could live so much more an abundant life. And I'm not talking necessarily about financial prosperity or anything else, but they could become better people every day. Like, for example, we all have just, heard about the death of Kobe Bryant. And I don't really know Kobe Bryant's faith position. I've heard that he was a committed Catholic believer and Christ is, and Jesus is Lord, but I don't know. But I do know that after he was accused of some very horrendous things, he turned his life around and became an advocate for women. He worked with a lot of children. Even the people that were their lives were taken with him in the helicopter. He was on his way to do a youth basketball event, and they were with him. I mean, so here's a guy that touched a lot of lives, and I believe probably got better every day. My bias is I want to hope he became more like Christ every day. You would say he became more like God every day, in that he was loving and kind and generous. So those are amazing kinds of things.
I think that's so right to the point, because people can very easily underperform spiritually, which seems to be the implication of what you just said. But maybe it's just not their time yet. You know, I think that there's a pilot light, a spiritual pilot light in every person, whatever they might use to describe themselves. There is this spiritual pilot light, and it flames up at different times in people's lives. To me, the real question is, how do we get it to flame up for people? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we inspire that to flame up for people? So then they'll want to live a godlike life.
Well, I have to tell you, my hope is that by simply listening to this program, maybe it'd be more entertaining if we were yelling and screaming and having
Jerry, what's the TV show?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. Yeah, let's do a Jerry Springer.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, and
but that sells. That's the problem. Controversy sells. You go on TV, you don't want to hear about how the Jewish people came together and had a nice day with some Christians. You want to hear about how we threw rocks at each other.
Yeah.
Controversy and terrible things sell, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I had a thought that we talk about atheists, and I have a personal theological belief that pride in the Tanakh says that pride is the basis of a lot of sin. Pride cometh before the fall, etc. And I look at the Garden of Eden, I look at creationism versus evolutionism. And I'm not going to get into a scientific thing here, but creationism means that there's somebody greater than me that made me and made this whole world. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so important after all. Mm-hmm. If I want to be self-centered, I don't want there to be a God. I am truth. I am light. There is no God light in me. It's my light. There's no God truth in me. It's my truth. That's pride. Mm-hmm. And that's what has separated us. I can be prideful and say, Rob, you're wrong. I had somebody tell me one time, you don't have to be wrong for me to be right. I believe that
there's truth to that.
That sounds like a song.
It, who would sing that? Would be a country western.
That's right. Well, I actually know, I've heard the lyric, but I just can't remember the song, but I'll come up with it here before the end of the show. Hey, we are in studio with Rabbi Dr. Rob Lenick. He's the Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico, and John Sondager, Executive Director of Bible Mission Global. We're talking about how Christians and Jews and people of all faiths and no faith should be getting along and getting things done and love one another. So stay with us. We're going to have more discussion right after these messages.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Every Tuesday night is Faith Night at Roller King. Bring the whole family for the fun times you remember having years ago. Enjoy family-friendly music, contests, a snack bar, and time for the whole family. Stop binging the latest show and forget the video game screens to get out of the house for healthy activities during Faith Night at Roller King. Tuesday nights from 6 to 8:30. For information, call 299-4494. That's 299-4494. Or log on to rollerkingnm.com.
Hi, this is Lisa, the owner of Betty's Bath and Day Spa at 12th and Candelaria in Albuquerque. I highly recommend Advanced On-Site Protection Security. We're part of their Security On Demand program. They respond quickly when we need them with professionally trained security officers. And the great thing is we only pay for security when we need it.
Call Advanced On-Site Protection Security for security on demand. 505-897-1307. That's 505-897-1307.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
John Sondager and Jewish Rabbi Dr. Robert Lenick in studio with us this afternoon. John is a Christian involved in many different Christian ministries, and Rob is the director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico. And again, I want to iterate, you guys are friends, you get along great, you get to talk about each other's theology and positions. And Rob, but I can tell you, John and I are both really tall. I have to say, I'll say it this way, you had to have been a three-point shooter in your day.
Well, I was a physical fitness reject, so I admit it.
For our audience, Rob is vertically challenged, and I always tell people, because Jim and I are both 6'7", and I said, if it wasn't for people like you, Rob, we wouldn't be tall.
Well, that's
see,
true.
It's all relative.
Rob, I was just taught you're as tall as you feel.
Yeah, but hey, Rob, I have to say this. You know, years and years ago, when I was involved in basketball, a point guard would come down the floor, and their job was to get it inside to the big men. But then there was this lobby. You know, there was literally this propaganda that all the guards put out, and they came up with a new rule called the three-point line. And yeah. Now the big guys never see the ball.
Except to rebound.
Except, yeah.
And now, throw it back out.
They're nothing. The big guys are now just blue-collar workers. They got to get it done inside and throw it outside to the three-point shooters. So that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But, hey, anyway, I've got to slip in a basketball thing once in a while. Rabbi Rob, why do we share support as Christians and Jews to support Israel as the eternal home of the Jewish people?
Well, listen, Israel is the land of the Bible. Our fundamental stories come from that beautiful place. And it exists through time, no matter who's been ruling that piece of geography. The story of the Hebrews and the story of Christianity are rooted there. And we need to preserve it. Maybe we have different theological reasons for wanting to preserve it, but we want to preserve it together because it symbolizes God's coming and showing a presence in this world, in Jerusalem, where you know, that encounter with God and Abraham and everything that flows out of that original covenant is rooted in that magnificent, mystical, magical place.
How do you view the very existence of Israel coming about in 1948? I mean, does the Jewish community say, wow, this is a crazy miracle, John?
Before you answer that, Rob, there's no statistical reason why there should be one living Jew on the planet. They have been persecuted, genocided, I don't know if that's a word, since Esther, since thousands of years before Christ. And then we, culminating almost, well, it continues on in the Holocaust. The reason there have to be Jews is because God has a covenant with them. And if they're, and that's an eternal covenant as to the land, we'll talk about that. And therefore, and I say this boldly and arrogantly, if there are no Jews, then I got to question whether there's a God, because he's a promise keeper and a covenant keeper. Israel represents that covenant, that the Jewish people being in existence, just being alive, represents that covenant. And then Israel, 1948, is a step towards the fulfillment of that covenant. Because as I read Genesis, and I also read some other things, they aren't quite occupying the whole land that God promised them. They're only partial occupants. Mm-hmm. Where that goes, I'm not here to talk about. But it's so critical for us as Christians to see that is Old Testament, quote-unquote, Hebrew Bible prophecy, which really became fulfilled. There's no way that a scattered group of people for 2,000 years almost should ever come together.
Well, and after 1948, I mean, this wasn't ever considered to be an absolutely safe place.
No,
but yet,
still isn't.
Yet Jews by the thousands and maybe even millions, yes, began immigrating back into Israel. And that's a big step of faith.
It is. And for Jews, it's a homeland for us. It's not just a safe haven as the world conceived it after World War II. I think of Israel as a crucible. And God chose the Jewish people to create this covenant to become a holy people, a light unto the nations, which meant to live a life where the conduct of people was defined by God's law, by the mitzvot, by the commandments. And Israel would become the crucible in which this experiment would be carried out. And hopefully, with the success of this experiment, the other nations of the world would come to understand that living in a covenant with God was a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it's a privilege to be part of that history. It's also a burden to be part of that history, because the world doesn't always understand the role of the Jewish people in sacred history. It's mm-hmm. always been what we would call tikkun olam, to repair the world and to hopefully set an example to others of what it means to repair the world. Israel is the original crucible of that.
The sanctuary for Jews is a part of Israel, but I agree with Rob, it's so much more than that. And a little bunny trail I'll take is that I believe the only reason, a major reason, why the United States prospered, because we're not the brightest and the smartest. I mean, my grandfather came over from Norway, an immigrant, had a very limited education. We didn't go out and find the very smartest people and ask them to come to the United States. There were all kinds of immigrants. So why is the United States has been blessed so much? Because of all the nations, I think we could say that it has been the most friendly towards Jews. Not perfect, lots of anti-Semitism in this country, some bad issues during the Holocaust, rejecting Jews, but nonetheless, this has been a fairly safe place. And God promised, I'm back to that covenant keeping God again. He said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. I think we are blessed because we have made significant efforts to bless the Jews.
You know, there are three principles in the Jewish religion. They're called Torah, which refers to study, Avodah, which means prayer, and Gemilut Chasadim, deeds of loving kindness. Study, prayer, deeds of loving kindness are three principles at the heart of the Jewish religion. And I think it's not an accident, because we have that ethic, especially of study and repairing the world, doing good deeds, that even though we are barely 0.5% of the world's population, you know, it's a blessing we've been able to receive and I don't say this in any kind of self-serving way, almost 25% of the Nobel Prizes in the world. And it's worth noting all those accomplishments and all that deep study and discovery was not done to benefit the Jewish community. It was done to benefit the whole world. And so I like to say Jews have that added value to the world in a whole variety of ways. And I think the heart of that is in the Jewish tradition rooted in the land of Israel.
Well, I can't help this, but we all understand the fundamental difference between the Jewish community and the Christian community, and that is who we say the Messiah is and the concept of Messiah. So I want to just ask you directly, Rob, if you would share that position theologically with us.
It's a really important question, and let's go back to the Bible itself. The word in Hebrew for Messiah is Mashiach. Sounds very similar, as you can hear. And the word Mashiach comes from a Hebrew word meaning to anoint. So actually, when Jacob wakes up from the ladder from heaven to earth, and he says, holy moly, God is in this place and I didn't know it, says he set up a pillar as a monument to that experience, and he poured oil on it. And the word is Mashach, to pour oil, to anoint. Saul is anointed with the word Mashach. He's called Mashiach. Aaron and his original four sons are anointed high priests in the priesthood of Israel with the same word, Mashach, to anoint. And so the word had to do with a ceremony where a person was elevated to hold a very sacred job in the culture of ancient Israel. And over the course of time, it really associated itself with the kings of Israel. And so for us, Messiah has always been, from the beginning, referring to human beings who play a significant role in the spiritual leadership of the whole people of Israel. It never had supernatural content associated with it. It wasn't something coming from heaven to earth, and it really wasn't associated with the remission of sin. It literally meant the spirit, the ultimate spiritual and political sovereign of the people of Israel. And that's what the Bible tells us about that individual. And that ultimately, that individual would help bring peace between Israel and the rest of the nations of the world. Now, that's an operative definition for traditional Jews, but there are other definitions of Messiah. For some people in the Jewish community, the Messiah is more of an idea, like a messianic time, when there is healing in the world and where we associate images of utopia, of God's heaven on earth. People don't talk about that as an apocalyptic Messiah that brings about a dramatic historical event, an end of time, but rather a restorative idea, when the world is restored to a godlike condition. And from that perspective, the Messiah is within every single one of us.
We're going to take a quick break. Rabbi Rob, I love the explanation. Love to hear you talking about that. We're going to let you kind of summarize that one more time and then give us the third kind of perspective right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Mark Pardo Salon Spa. More beauty, more luxury, more value. In addition to hair and skin treatments, experience Mark Pardo's spa services, including facials, nails, hair removal, massage, and body treatments. Perfect when preparing for that special celebration or simply to treat yourself. Ask about Mark Pardo Salon Spa Services and schedule an appointment today at 298-2983 or markpardo.com.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at water extraction.com.
Grandpa, get in the kitchen. Grandpa, I need you in the parking lot.
Go here, go there. Ava's so bossy.
Get the mop, Grandpa. We've got a spill at table 5.
Stella, not you too. I've already got one boss, your sister.
We're a team. Get used to it.
Two bosses? They've come running in all directions.
We understand at your age it's hard to keep up.
Just go visit with the customers, Grandpa.
Monroe's on Osuna in the Heights. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
Dom is more individualized than a normal realtor. He really listened to what my concerns were and the problems that I'd had with trying to sell my home. I knew that he had also worked with rental properties. And in the event that I wasn't able to sell my property since it had already been on the market for 6 months, I knew that there was a possibility he could help me as a rental agent also. But he said, no, we're going to get you out of this house. He took me under his wing. And within 72 hours, I started getting a lot of good feedback from him. And he had two or three people looking at the house, and he had sold my house within 72 hours.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back in studio this afternoon with Rabbi Dr. Rob Lenick. He is the executive director of the Jewish Foundation or Federation of New Mexico. And John Sondager, he's the executive director of Bible Mission Global. John has several other ministries, Yad Biyad, and he's also a local attorney. John, you still doing trusts and that kind of work?
Yes, keeps me out of the bars.
Well, I'm glad something is.
Yeah. I'm sorry. My wife's going to just kill me for that one.
Rabbi Rob, you were just telling us about the Jewish perspective on the Messiah. Could you summarize the first two positions? And I know you have a third that you want to share with us.
So in Judaism, the Messiah derives from the Hebrew word to anoint. And there were those where there was the anointing of Aaron and Aaron's sons as high priests, and the kings of Israel were called Mashiach, anointed. So for us, it's always referred to a human being who was the spiritual leader of the people, who represented their sovereignty and hopefully, according to biblical tradition, would lead to peace between Israel and the nations of the world. There are also those who think of the Messiah more as a reference to a quality in all human beings, a messianic quality that if we were to bring it to light and share it, we could create a messianic world. We could create a world that is restored and peaceful and loving all around. So those are the two ways we often think about the Messiah in Jewish tradition. But the third thing I want to mention is I once had a surprise encounter with the Archbishop of Canterbury when I was a young rabbi in Denver, Colorado in 1985. And I was leading an interfaith seder at the Episcopal Cathedral in Denver. And a gentleman walked in the room, and I did not know who he was, with two attendants. And he was wearing clergy garb, and he came and sat on the dais, and he introduced himself. And to be perfectly frank, I didn't know who was the Archbishop of Canterbury at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the import of that. And we started to have this interfaith dialogue in the presence of 150 people at the Seder. And I asked him a question. I said, could you explain to me, when it comes to Jesus Christ, is it 50-50 human divine? Is it 100% divine? It's like, how do you work that out? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, the answer to that question we learned from the Jewish people. I said, really? He said, yes. You know, he said, God forbid we ever answer that question. That is the mystery of the church. And if anyone thinks they have the answer, then the church becomes obsolete. And we want there to always be a mystery associated with Jesus Christ, as well as the ultimatest mystery associated with God. And that reminder of the mysterious nature of God and Jesus, and as you experience it, I think is the beginning of wisdom, honestly. And it was probably one of the greatest lessons I ever learned. Yeah. Because in Judaism, we maintain God as a mystery.
Neat story. Rob, I'm going to shift gears to something that's kind of a tough subject. And John, you chime in as you'd like. As I said earlier in the show, I'm not really cognizant of discrimination and prejudice. I've had my own. You know, I've never liked basketball officials, guys that wear, you know, striped shirts and that kind of stuff. And I've had to get over that. But I make a joke, but I really don't want to treat this subject lightly. There is a lot of anti-Semitism, and you mentioned in our preparation for the show that anti-Semitic violence is at an all-time high in America.
Indeed it is, at any other time in American history. We've seen in 2017, 18, and 19, and that whole, in a five-year period leading up to now, 150% increase in anti-Semitic violence. Wow. In the United States. And it's a serious issue. And unfortunately, from Pittsburgh to Poway, even recently in Pueblo, Colorado, our neighbor, there was a bombing of a synagogue that was averted by the FBI in November of this past year. This notion of wanting to do mass destruction against groups of people is what the law now calls domestic terrorism when it's rooted in domestic play actors. And it's a very serious issue, and thankfully we're addressing it here in New Mexico.
I am appalled by anybody who is a Christian and is an anti-Semitic, because they kind of seem to forget, Jesus was Jewish, Mary was Jewish, all the apostles were Jewish, etc., where we come from. I have a, maybe it's a simplistic and maybe it's a lofty, I think it's just purely demonic. Mm-hmm. I believe that Satan, whom we believe is a real entity, Rob, seeks to destroy God's chosen people, to destroy his covenant, to show God is not God. Susie has my best explanation. She says, if you really want to hurt me, hurt my child, hurt my children. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt me any more than hurting my children. So I look at as the Jews as representative of God's children. And so if we want to hurt God and defame God, we hurt his children. It's irrational. I mean, the things that they come up with, going back to the Middle Ages, blood libel, that supposedly Jews drank the blood of Christian babies in their Passover. I mean, come on, blood is illegal, quote unquote, for Jews. It's irrational. That's why it has to be more than just political or something like that. It's an innate, evil spirit. Same thing with hating racial issues, blacks or Hispanic, whatever. That's grounded in some real deep-rooted evil.
Well, Rob, you have, the Jewish community has a lot in common with the civil rights movement that was led by people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There's been a lot of persecution. There's been slavery in both cultures. Tell us about, are there some synergies between black Americans and Jewish Americans, just to confine it to this country?
Well, certainly historically, leaders of the Jewish community stood on the front line with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. During the civil rights era. And we share common victimization, but yet we don't want to be thought of as victims. Mm-hmm. We share common misunderstandings of who we are, how we live, what our lives are like. And yet, in fact, we're just living lives muddling through just like everybody else and trying to make sense of life. Mm-hmm. We have a lot in common with all oppressed groups of people. And especially because of the oppression Jews have experienced in history, we need to be, and always are, that much more empathetic to the suffering of others.
Yeah. John, how can Christians help to calm the anti-Semitism in our culture?
I think it begins in the church, where the church needs to teach its congregants that Judaism and Christianity are complementary. Yes, we disagree, but we have a foundational, biblical, unbelievable foundation together, and we've got to be able to build on that and trust each other in many ways. And it's education. It's one of the things that Christians need to know is that there has been a barrier between Christians and Jews because of Christian anti-Semitism. Mm. I mean, and the Crusades for us as Christians, that's a wonderful thing. That's when King Arthur, not really, and Sir Lancelot, the great knights went in and freed this Holy Land from those terrible Muslims. Well, in doing so, we crowded Christians into synagogues and burned every synagogue in Jerusalem and burn Jews alive. That's what the Jews think of the crusade. Then you have, quote-unquote, a Christian European country called Germany that created the Holocaust. So we've got some real issues. I've told Susie and I have mentioned to people, what we're trying to do is tear down that wall. Some people say that we'd like to plant some seeds of love between Christians and Jews. I'm trying to break up the pavement. So some seeds can be planted.
Sure.
It's a disgrace for us. So we have to recognize that it's been in existence, and we have to combat it. And there's little things that we can be aware of. Is when somebody says something derogatory about Jews, don't let it pass. Don't just let it slide. That's when you're a part of the bystander, so to speak. And there's phrases, and I'm not going to offend anybody, but I used to use the phrase, well, I don't want to get Jewed down. Well, I didn't think that was anti-Semitic, but it is. And we need to be sensitive and aware. And the more we get to know our Jewish brothers and sisters, the more awareness we have in saying, okay, again, we can agree to disagree agreeably, but you're a fellow walker on this earth, journeyman with me.
Look, I think the Jewish community has a responsibility to build those relationships so that people know that we are real people, and that we are charitable and support the well-being of the whole community, of everyone in our community. A lot of what people hear about Jews is what they have read in the Bible, let's say, or what they've heard from a pastor or from other types of authorities. And we as a Jewish community have a responsibility to build these interfaith relationships and share our stories so we find out we're all in God's image. We're all in God's image. And when you realize that, things get better.
Well, in our final segment, we're going to see how this domestic terrorism is touching home here in New Mexico. There's a bill before the state legislature. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be your most trusted, locally owned and operated mortgage company. For years, you've heard me encourage you to shop your mortgage around. Well, the CFPB, which is the governing body for all financial institutions, completed a nationwide survey and concluded that 70% of borrowers did not shop their mortgage. And because of this, they overpaid in fees to the tune of $30 billion. The worst part is, the survey only looked at fees and not what a higher rate would cost over the life of the mortgage. Never assume your lender is offering you the best deal. And remember that big banks and big internet lenders are the worst offenders, no matter if they mention how highly ranked they are. Don't overpay in fees and don't take a higher rate than what you deserve. Shop around and be sure to include your local trusted lender, Indigo Mortgage. Call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
Fulfilling the Great Commission can be a grand adventure. Cody and Chantel Byrne traded a comfortable life in Albuquerque to begin a church plant in Perth, on the Gold Coast of Australia, where Cody was born.
It came down to, despite all the signs and the answered prayers, we just had this insanely overwhelming peace to just sell everything. We had to sell our house, our cars, our belongings, and just pack up. And, you know, we brought six green duffel bags from Albuquerque all the way to Perth, Australia. We've got two small kids, and so that was a journey in of itself, but really just having this call, having this peace, the confirmation, and just taking a giant step of faith, trusting the Lord in every step.
At KNKT and Star 88, our great mission campaign for 2020 now turns to Tribes Church with Cody and Chantel. Here is an opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of a kingdom investment. Follow Tribes with Cody at tribesaustralia.com. Keep up with their podcast, pray for their progress, and invest in this startup venture. TribesAustralia.com.
Plan to launch our church in August.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect. Rabbi Dr. Robert Linick, he's the Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of New Mexico, in studio with us, along with his friend, John Sondager, Christian man, Executive Director of the Bible Mission Global. We've been talking about how we should all get along, and we're kind of ending up the program with Rabbi Rob. You mentioned there's a lot of anti-Semitism around this. You've given us some examples of really violence against people for no other reason than their ethnicity, which seems odd. And there's all kinds of reasons we can speculate why that's happening. But now there is a bill. It's Bill 265 before the New Mexico House. Tell us a little bit about that bill.
So the federal government, through the Patriot Act, defined domestic terrorism, but it did not designate it as a specific crime. Mm. And so there is no federal domestic terrorism law. And there are actually just three other states that have domestic terrorism written into the law. Those are Arizona, Vermont, and Georgia. The benefit of a domestic terrorism statute is that it identifies the worst form of ethnic, religious hate violence. And that's violence that is done against groups of people by domestic agents, people who are of the United States, because they want to snuff out other people's opinions that disagree with their own. Timothy McVeigh is an example of a domestic terrorist, but he was never charged with that crime because it didn't exist in the law. Mm. Here in New Mexico, we're fortunate. We have hate crime. And it's worth noting, between 2017 and 18, hate crime in New Mexico increased by a factor of four just in 1 year. In terms of anti-Semitic incidents, there were 14 in the last year that were reported. So in our state, we have a culture of diversity and a culture of inclusion. We don't have what we see in some other major urban areas in terms of hate violence. But we also know, the Southern Poverty Law Center pointed out, that we have no active hate groups in New Mexico, but there are 130 of those hate groups in our border states all around us. And so the purpose of this law is to write domestic terrorism into the existing terrorism statute. And that identifies this as a specific crime with specific penalties. And we think this is important, not only as a preventative measure, but by stating this explicitly in the law, it helps educate the public about the nature of domestic terrorism.
Well, I want to point our listeners to the website nmlegis.gov. That is the legislative website for the New Mexico legislature. And you can go in and you can click on legislation. You can put in House Bill HB 265, and you can look up what it's all about. And we just want to encourage people to get educated, be in the know, and then contact your representatives about your feelings.
Let me just say that the FBI's 2018 report on hate crime in the United States said that at this time we are the worst it's been in 16 consecutive years. Mm. And the one group experiencing more hate crime than any other are Hispanics. Mm. And so, you know, we live in a diverse state here. And this law is not just about protecting the Jewish community. It's about protecting all ethnic and other communities at risk.
You know, obviously we have a great disdain for the platform that an organization like Planned Parenthood stands for. In fact, we're worried that they're going to introduce with the help of Michelle Lujan Grisham, another late term abortion bill. We're really worried about that. And, at the same time, as much as I disagree with their position on abortion, I don't believe we should be allowed to attack them physically or ever have violence against them. In fact, I'm very familiar with a local security company, a lot of conservative people that served in our U.S. military, and they are going to protect Planned Parenthood as part of their, you know, it comes from their philosophy that they're here to protect Americans and protect free speech and protect our positions, how wrong they may be, and how we might disagree. So this bill is actually going to make it so you just can't go attack people. And I believe, especially since we know the Word of God, and we're not, you know, we're not exclusive to possessing that. You know, the Jewish community has the Hebrew Bible. We believe that is the Word of God. We believe the New Testament is also the Word of God, and we believe by sharing that, lives change. We don't actually have to do the persuading. That's done by somebody we call the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to convince anybody. We just need to share our faith, and we need to extend love. And then there's many, many, I like what you said earlier about the third tenet of the Jewish faith is to serve and love people and care for them. I paraphrase that to say exactly the way you did, but I've experienced that at the Jewish Community Center, where I go to work out. I mean, you're talking about a community that just loves on people of all faith. I mean, it's really a nice place.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah.
I have heard a very good expression. Sometimes the only Bible somebody's ever going to read is you. Rob, I love Jews because I love you. There is a, you represent the best of mankind and Judaism, so on and so forth. And that's our obligation to represent the, to cum olam, to heal the world, to repair the world. That's a biblical mandate of God and Jesus also, we believe. And so what happens is that it gets so distorted because we're trying to change people. We're just trying to bring light, you know, and again, we need to understand as Christians that I believe that God chose the Jewish people for lots of reasons, but one was for them to be those witnesses, to be a light unto the Gentiles. That's us, folks. We were the Gentiles. I'd like to transition into something, if I may, taken away from you. Don't mean to.
No, absolutely.
How do we overcome some of the, we have laws and that's good, and we have this and that and that's good, but how do we advocate for Israel? How do we, because Israel represents a lot more than just some geographical property and a Knesset and so on and so forth. One of the things that concerns me is a thing called BDS, Boycott, Divestiture, and Sanctions. That is a movement in this country and around the world to boycott anything that has to do with Israel. There are, and I won't say names, there are religious organizations whose foundations are divesting themselves, that's the best second part, of their stock in any Israel company. And then sanctions, it's they're trying to make Israel an apartheid country, so on and so forth. That's anti-Semitism in a political, overt, maybe not so bad level. And I hesitate to say this, and it hurts me to say this, but the University of New Mexico is known by the Jewish communities as one of the most anti-Semitic, anti-Israel universities in the country. They have a strong advocacy of anti-Israel, and it's permeated through professors and groups and so on and so forth. That is anti-Semitism, but it's also stupid.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's happening is that Rob's organization, Jewish Federation, APAC, which is American Israel Political Affairs Committee, Santa Fe Middle East Watch, other organizations, they're going to have a workshop on advocating how to learn to advocate for Israel. It's going to be in Albuquerque this Sunday, or this, not this, Sunday, the February 23rd, at the Jewish Community Center, which is on 5520 Wyoming Boulevard Northeast, just north of Spain and south of Academy. It's going to be in Santa Fe, the February 24th at the Chabad, which is a Jewish synagogue in 5500 Camino de los.
We talked with Rabbi Levertov.
There you go.
That congregation.
There you go. So this is how to advocate for Israel, how to understand what Israel needs are, how to come alongside them, which is coming alongside our Jewish friends. A call to action. He said, what can we do?
Yes.
It's to learn. It's to step out of ignorance and bad traditions and bad historical relationships and come into the light that I think God calls us to.
I hate to make this political, but Rabbi Rob, I'm going to ask you a political question. Can people like Nancy Pelosi, can the majority leader and our president, Donald Trump, can they stand up before this nation and say something like, you know, I believe people can get better every day. And though we have differences, we have 50 or 60% of the issues before us we can agree upon. Let's get those agreed upon, get them signed, and then we'll talk about the other 30 or 40% after. Can that actually happen?
My answer is from your mouth to God's ears.
Can it happen? Anything's possible. Will it happen? Let's pray that it does. And I think we as Christians and Jews need to be praying. God calls us to pray for those who are in authority over us.
But let me say something else. I've come to believe over so many years that change is really organic from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And we do better by doing that kind of work ourselves than depending on our leadership, who answer to constituencies and have all kinds of other pressures pushing them to say what they might not even believe. So the call to action, I would say, is people need to make relationships with each other.
Awesome. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time, Rabbi Rob Lenick and John Sondaga. We'll see you next time on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect. Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.